Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining this talk, the last one of the day of the conference. My name is René Pourtier. I've been working for a bit longer than 1 year at Intel in the Open Source Technology Center division as an engineering manager. I will be helped by Luc for the demo session at the end of this talk. So, by end of last year, with all the announcement around Tizen, with the huge HTML5 momentum, PhoneGap Cordova has been put on our radar as a good means for us to understand web technologies, because to be honest with you, this was not our primary area of expertise, and also as a good means to play and to be involved in the Tizen effort. So we started studying Cordova as with both interest, challenge, and curiosity. And then later on, we really worked on it and to port it to Tizen. So the purpose of the presentation today is to share the experience of this job, as well as presenting you what we did, what we are doing or redoing, and what are the plans for the coming months. So for those of you who don't know Cordova, so a brief introduction. So HTML5, you heard it during the previous day, today, during the keynote. HTML5 is being embraced by the industry, and there are now numerous tools available to meet the needs of mobile HTML5 development. You may have heard about Appcelerator, Titanium, about Amobi, and Cordova, PhoneGap, is one of these tools. Just to give you an idea about the buzz around that, as I'm talking now, there are other sessions in parallel covering the topic, not Cordova specifically, but all these framework and tools. So Cordova is an open source standard-based development framework relying on the web technologies. When it comes to web APIs, the current offer is pretty fragmented, and also incomplete. So you understand that there are different actors pushing and defining their own specifications, the standardization entities like WPC, Webinos, WAC, and so on, as well as a browser provider like Mozilla, as well as platform provider like Android. So first of all, it takes time to define a complete API, and also all the actors have different interests. So in that sense, Cordova project is trying to unify all this web API, providing a kind of meta API, so to unify the third-party application development and supplement the existing standard with missing JavaScript APIs. Cordova is also a framework that allows to build hybrid applications. Hybrids mean that it's a native application wrapping more or less HTML code. So this is pretty important. We'll see that later. And last but not least, Cordova also provides a pretty clever mechanism, pretty clever infrastructure to build and package applications for different targets. So this allows to deploy your web app on different app stores later. So I wrote down a quote from the site: write once, compile in the cloud, run anywhere. So again, a bit of history about Cordova. We still hear a lot about PhoneGap, Cordova PhoneGap, same story. It was initially called PhoneGap, and the name is pretty self-explanatory at the beginning. PhoneGap was targeting mainly the phone devices, and Gap, as I explained earlier regarding the web API, to bridge the gap regarding the phone web APIs. This project has been funded by an Itobi software company, and that has been acquired by end of last year by Adobe as part of the HTML strategy of Adobe, with driving HTML innovation. At that time, this project has been renamed PhoneGap to Cordova, and it has been put in open under the Apache 2.0 license. The Cordova project is currently applying to contribute to the Apache Software Foundation and is currently at the incubation stage. What does it mean? It means that there is, in the ASF Foundation, the incubator stage is the entry path for project and code base wishing to contribute to be part of the global ASF efforts. So here is a very high level overview of all the features provided by Cordova. So you have the high level set of APIs that Cordova presents, as well as all the platforms that currently enable Cordova. When you look at the Cordova developer mailing list, you see a lot of activities on a daily basis around iOS, Android, and RIM. There are tens of mails every day exchanged between developers working on Cordova on this platform. And obviously, for Tizen specifically, one of our goals will be at some point to add another column on the with Tizen and as many crosses as possible in front of the APIs. So this slide is pretty obvious. Why port Cordova to Tizen? So based on the previous slide, we want to be at the same level for Tizen as the other existing platforms, and we want to promote Tizen like iOS or Android and on this as a web platform. Cordova is also extremely popular, and not only based on the number of mails that we can see, but also on the number of apps, Cordova apps that we can find on the different application stores like the Apple App Stores or the Android Market. So by porting Cordova to Tizen, in theory, we will allow a lot of existing applications to run as is on top of Tizen. And we will also leverage the existing Cordova ecosystem. We also want, as I mentioned, to benefit from a very important feature from this project, Cordova, is to use their PhoneGap build system to also deploy the Tizen applications on different platforms. When we started to investigate and to study Cordova, we started first to see, to look at the existing implementation on the platform I just presented. And we noticed that there are two main reference implementations, two main ways to enable Cordova on the platform. The first one is about native hybrid applications. So basically, based on the native code, you instantiate WebView full screen with the right APIs of the platform. And then Cordova allows some bridge mechanism between the web runtime side and the native side. So depending again on the platform, you will have a different mechanism to use this bridge. So the main platforms are using this type of implementations, iOS, Android, and BlackBerry. There is a second way of porting Cordova to a platform, which is what I call JavaScript Shim Layer. So Shim Layer means basically a glue between the Cordova API and the web API of the host platform. So remember when I presented why we worked on this, I said that we are not really JavaScript or web technology experts, so we opted for the Shim Layer, which looks really like the easiest way for us. So I'm going to go deeper into detail. We wrote a set of JavaScript libraries mapping the Cordova web API to the Tizen ones. So in terms of advantages, it's easy. We rely only on the public Tizen SDK. Thanks to the Tizen SDK, it's easy to build a widget, a WGT file, to build and test it. And it's also a reference implementation used by platforms like WebOS and Symbian. There are some drawbacks to this approach. First of all, we are closely tied to the host platform, the web API of Tizen. So when we started the effort, It was on on the beta release of Tizen. I think it was in January or February. So at that stage, it was not a complete web API set. So it means that the porting effort was slowed down due to some missing APIs. And we have also big drawbacks. I will come back to this later. No way to extend to platform services that are not exposed through web APIs. So once again, on the left side of this array, you see the high-level set of Cordova API. And in the right side, these are the matching Tizen web APIs. So Tizen provide web API relying on the WFC specifications. So for instance, accelerometer, compass, relocation. In such case, it is pretty easy to map Cordova APIs to Tizen. So there are cases, Sakari Poussa did a good presentation about that. There are some cases where there are Tizen specific APIs. So in this case, it may be a bit more tricky. We'll see this. So this is now a bit deeper into the code. So it is a very basic page. I highlighted in red the items I'm going to cover. So the first one is including the Cordova.js, the Cordova JavaScript library, into your HTML file. This is not the final name. I don't know what will be the final name selected by the Cordova mentors. This JavaScript library embeds the shimulator and the Cordova logic, I would say, the Cordova runtime. Once this library is initialized, then it raises a device ready event, and this is only at that stage that you can call, and then that the Cordova API can be processed. So you have to wait for this event to be raised before calling Cordova web API. Pretty recently, I think it was a couple of months ago, Cordova people changed completely the architecture. So what they decided to do is to put to create common libraries for all the APIs. So common, it's common for all platforms, and then it's up to every platform to do what is specific to their own platform. So on the left side, you see the current folders. And the common one is the one where there are the common codes for all the platforms. On the right side, this is where we put the specific code to Tizen. So when we look into this common code, our main task when doing a shim layer consisted in doing a grep on the exec calls. The exec calls are the calls within this JavaScript library that are specific to the host platform. So that are the calls that we have to overload, to overwrite with the specific code to Tizen. So let's take an example, a very basic one. So battery. Battery API is actually the subset of events API. When you look at the battery.js, which is in the common folder of Cordova, so I removed all the code which is common. Basically, the common code relates to error management, data calculation, common code. And then I highlighted in red the code which is specific to the platform, as I said, the exec calls. So this is where we have to put specific code to Tizen. In this case, you can see that for the API battery, there are two functions, start and stop, that must be written specifically for the host platform. So this is really the shim layer that we wrote for the battery, again, for the same example of battery. So in red again, you can see that the start function, we put the calls to the host platform, to Tizen, calling the web API from Tizen. Same for the stop function. So this is, I think, a self-explanatory example. Sorry. I'm just coming back. Yes, you can see at the bottom of the right side a file called exec.js. So this is where we put the dispatch mechanism, what I call the plugin manager. Anytime that there is an exec call in the common code, then we enter into this code, and we have to see what is the API that is called, what is the function that we want to call, and based on this, for Tizen specifically, we created a path to locate the right plugin to invoke, and within this plugin, we fetch the right functions to call. So the parameters class relates to the API battery, for instance. The parameter action relates to the functions of the API, start and stops, for the battery example. So then we call plugin action, meaning we call directly the right function, and this goes into the shim layer from the previous slide. Okay, so I have to say so that we first started to implement a shim layer, and we ramped up on callback technologies, on JavaScript, and also Tizen got a bit more mature and more clear for us. And then come the issues of the question of how to do hybrid applications and how to call native code if needed by a web application. So because we had a better knowledge of this we started doing what the other platforms like iOS, Android, or BlackBerry are doing. So we implemented a native Tizen ESL application. So for Tizen, we had to call the elementary review widget to instantiate a web view. When we instantiate with this web view, we put as a parameter the local URI, the local folder, with including all the resources of the Cordova application, so the HTML5, the JavaScript libraries, CSS, and so on. We're also using a bridge mechanism and a protocol provided by PhoneGap to allow bidirectional communication between the web runtime side and the native side. And we also use a hook. I will go deeper in the next slide about that. We use also a hook to exchange to come back to the native side. So basically, we just copied the way the other platform are doing. So what we did is that we register callbacks in the native code. Callbacks called when the title of the document is changed in the web runtime side. So anytime we want to go from the web runtime side to the native side, we just change the document title, and that's it. So when we are in the JavaScript side, so in the Cordova application, remember in the previous way of implementing the port, it was a shim layer. So there was this exec.js file with a dispatch mechanism. Here, the exec.js file is totally different. So in this file, this is where we want to call the right API, and the right API will be in the native code. So remember what I said. To come back from the web runtime side to the native code, we have to change the document title. That's what we do at the end, document.title equal. And what we pass here as a text-based protocol is comes from Cordova, actually. It's a text-based protocol provided by Cordova, and basically you put the gap semicolon dash dash, and then you concatenate the function, the name of the function, and the parameters that you want to pass to the other side. So thanks to the callback that detected that the database is invoked because the title of the document has changed, then you are in the native side. You do whatever you want natively. You can call the host platform because you are on the native side. And then what you do is that if you want to come back to the JavaScript side, so we have to call. You are using Cordova mechanism, and we call an EFL API passing some parameters that are specific to Cordova to come back to the JavaScript side. So the status. We pushed the code into public in March. You have the link here. The thing is that this code is pretty old now. First of all, it relies on the previous architecture. The presentation I'm doing is based on the new architecture. So The code I presented here is on our machines and will be pushed upstream very soon. We are currently focusing on the shim layer part, but as I mentioned, we started to do the hybrid way of doing of implementing Cordova. So this feasibility is a kind of feasibility study which is totally done, and it proves that it is feasible, and we have some issues. We have some security issues now to check, and once this is clarified, we will switch to this hybrid way of porting Cordova. In terms of API, so this is for the shim layer. So there are many APIs that are already completed. There are some that are not really completed. So maybe thanks to the latest SDK that has been released last week, some problem would be solved. Quickly, the main issues that we have today with the remaining APIs that we have to complete, for instance, when it comes to web intents, where we have to pass some verbs and type, I don't know, display, media, and so it's not easy right now with Tizen. But here again, remember that I'm talking about the previous SDK of Tizen. Maybe things have been solved in the Luxper release. So the next steps, pretty obvious. We will complete the missing API. We switch and we upgrade what has changed between the previous SDK and the new one. We want to ideally complete all the shim layer by June. And also, the GitHub repository where all the code is public today is a temporary one. At some point, like the other Cordova ports for iOS, for BlackBerry and Android, our code should be located on the Apache repo. And so this requires some internal legal agreement that we are pursuing. And this also needs the agreements from the Cordova mentors. So that's why they want first to have a look to the code in a temporary repo. And once we get the agreement, we can move the code in the official repository. Yes, so as I mentioned, we have to clarify also the real possibility to create hybrid applications. Today, this is still not clear to us. It is technically feasible, but we don't know yet if it's if it will be allowed or not. Last, yes, the using the Cordova build capabilities. This is something that we have in mind, but we didn't investigate it. And we will need to meet with the Cordova people to clarify what we must put in place with them to be able to build a Cordova application for the Tizen platform. And it's time for a demo by Luc.
Okay, so I'll show you here how to run a small Cordova application on Tizen. Okay, let me just get the display right. Okay, sounds good. For those of you who already downloaded it, this is the Tizen SDK. And the Tizen simulator. Can I show you right here? So, to create a new application, okay, is it going to show me the menu? Right. Okay, never mind. Yeah, okay, so to create a new Tizen application using a template, so for those of you who didn't get the SDK yet, it's very simple. Just create new basic application. Okay, let's call it a Hello Tizen. Okay, so here is a project template for just the generated main JavaScript file, CSS. The HTML5 file, okay, so I'm kind of scared to grow the screen because it will hide my stuff. Okay, here. So that's just an app template that calls the Tame API. So something really simple. If I run it on Tizen, run as web app. Okay, so that's the Tizen Hello World. So now, how do I do the same template for a Cordova application? There's almost no difference. Okay, I'll get there. New Tizen web project. User template, so basically I just took the basic template and added the Cordova shim layer and that's it. So I call it Hello Cordova. Okay, so what do I have in this template? Just so 2JS, so the Cordova shim layer, the template code. So here it's a Cordova application that just display the device status and the battery status. So for those of you who know a little about Cordova, so the code is really simple. Yeah, I'm just scared that I can touch the menu then. That's a Linux machine. Tu me dis? Okay, wait. Start. Okay, yeah. So, I'll just run it. Here, so, I'm going through the code, so I just register for the device ready event. In the device ready event, so when Cordova is ready, I register for the battery status callback. Okay, and here, so I can have both next. Okay, so that's my app running, and I can use the event injector to change the battery level. Okay, and I get the callbacks directly on the emulator. And so if you look at the source, there's really nothing but the JS app and the Cordova shim layer here. And since it's a JSON application, and since it's a Cordova application, I can do just the same thing and run it on my my Android phone. So here, okay. Stupid. Okay, so Android phone, Cordova app. Okay, so I'm touching it. Same thing, too much light, too much light, too much. No, should be here itself. Yeah, yeah, okay. No. Here, yeah. Here it is. Okay, okay. Thank you. Questions for René or me? For René, please.
For us?
Yeah. Okay.
Are there any Cordova APIs that are not covered by the Tizen APIs?
What was the question?
Are there any Tizen APIs that are not covered by Cordova APIs?
Okay, so the other side. Tizen APIs that are not covered by Cordova.
No.
Joker. Yes, there are some Tizen APIs not covered yet by Cordova. I'm okay. Thinking about some, I think NFC is okay.
Okay. And so if you have an application that's written for Tizen, you can take advantage of the Tizen APIs, right? But is there any way to test for a Tizen API and then fall back to a more generic workaround if the Tizen API is not available? So saying you're running a Cordova or a Tizen app on a non-Tizen device, you may not have access to battery status or something like that. Is there a way to detect that that API is not available and come up with a nice error message or a nice warning or something like that?
You miss to fail gracefully. So I think in this case, in the exec.js file, We will fail to find the right plugin, and there will be an error case.
Okay. So then the application would be able to handle that and say, this not supported.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if I'm a bit cynical, I would say that your project is an example of fragmentation HTML5. Right, I mean, you have the Tizen version of HTML5, you have the Cordova version of HTML5, and wouldn't it be better if you spent your energy on consolidating that, maybe putting that back to W3C and not having to do this kind of shim layer?
You're right, that's a parallel effort. But Cordova has already, as I mentioned, a huge community, and it's supported by the other platforms, so we don't want to be behind the other platforms, so we also have to play the Cordova game, I think.
I think I have a similar question to that. Regarding the APIs, is your intention to support W3C, Tizen, Cordova, or all of the above?
So you are referring to the mapping of Cordova API on top of Tizen. So when I mentioned W3C is the one selected by, part of Tizen. In Tizen, you have W3C API plus specific APIs.
So they're the same.
Well,
W3C and Tizen are the same.
In Tizen, we took the W3C APIs where it was possible, but they don't cover everything. So, for instance, NFC. So when there's no W3C APIs, we made new APIs for Tizen. And PhoneGap is also, I mean, we didn't create PhoneGap. So it's also a way to bridge the gap, the APIs that were lacking in W3C. So now the PhoneGap APIs exist. So we need to support them in Tizen, just like Android and iOS and so on.
Okay, so going forward, you will support all of those?
Well, the goal is to have
okay.
everything in W3C.
Okay.
That's
you.
The goal. I mean, yeah.
I have two questions. The first one is more on the business side, second technical. Do you know how many applications Tizen would inherit as soon as PhoneGap will be available?
Mike, you want to answer?
I think about 20,000.
About 20,000. So it, you know, I do agree, even if it's a bit of a hack in standardization, it's still quite nice. My second question is more technical. You said that you would move from the shim layer to the native hybrid.
Assuming we solve some security
issues. That was exactly, you know, the security system is based on SMAC, so we're going to pass a token through the application. Do you believe you will be able to propagate actually the token from SMAC into the hybrid?
Okay, so I don't have the answer. What we implemented works on the developer machine, who has root privileges. He creates a Debian package. And we can install it on Tizen. I don't know how it would work if this Debian package corresponding to the native hybrid application is posted on an app store and then downloaded on top of a device. That's where we have some issues. So,
okay. So your model would be that the application would have to download a package currently outside of the web system.
This is to be
choose the RPM in our model, but okay, that's tough.
Yeah, that's why. I mean, there is a TBC in the next step, complete the hybrid application model.
Okay, thank
it's
you.
Not tech.
Hi there. Did you consider just exposing the PhoneGap APIs as part of the platform, as parallel APIs to the Tizen web APIs?
You mean adding Cordova APIs to
Tizen directly?
You could, the platform itself could expose the PhoneGap.
No. First of all, Cordova also relies on W3C for some APIs, the one like accelerometer, geolocation. That's why the mapping was pretty easy. And, I mean, we don't touch Tizen. I mean, we use Tizen as is. We are just doing. There is no thing behind just porting Cordova on top of Tizen. There is no. Goal behind beyond that. So.
Okay.
I have one question. So, how's the performance of the Cordova compared to the native cores? Have you done any benchmarking?
No benchmark yet. On the developer machine, performance was honestly very good. We have been surprised because we were a bit sceptic, but I don't have any figures to show. And definitely, at some points, we'll have to look at it a bit carefully. But
hi, can I ask you a simple question? So, what's the format of the API spec in the PhoneGap API? Are those the WAG? Specify APIs or what's the format?
The format of Cordova APIs, close to W3C.
Yeah, closer to.
One advantage of the JavaScript approach versus the hybrid approach would be that when you have the app spit out by the PhoneGap tool, the shim version would be identical for both IA and ARM versions of Tizen. The advantage of the hybrid approach would be presumably that you can extend it. Are you thinking about keeping both versions around?
This is not decided yet because now we have only one version, right? We have
right.
a machine layer. The other one is still work in progress. But that could be a good idea so that we can take advantage of both ways of doing it. So you have on the screen the email address of the main contributors to this effort, so don't hesitate to send us mails if you have any follow-up questions, and it will be our pleasure to answer you. Thanks, everyone.